Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy. Thanks to Goldbelly. Goldbelly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Goldbelly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program with a panel of invited guests, always live, always lively. We'd love to hear from you today during the show. 952-78-4000, studio at tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe official. Good morning to ER Cassidy and also to Liz, who have posted already on the Facebook page. And we tweet, we're at TRE Talk is good. Andres Gallardo has left the building, so we're down to probably gone off to sort the problems in Catalonia by himself by the sound of the way he left the studio. So we are now down to the three musketeers, Ron Yates, Mike Senker, and of course Nathan Thomas. 952-78-4000 if you wish to get involved in the show. In the next 53 minutes or so, we're going to be speaking about several subjects. We're going to be speaking about anti-Semitism within the Labour Party and perhaps in general in British political life, as well as having a look across the pond and the latest developments coming out of the States and the allegations of a certain Miss Stormy Daniels, which should be interesting radio, I should have nothing else. But first we're going to look at one of the other major stories coming today, with the headlines screaming titles such as World Unites Against Putin, Putin the Pariah, 100 diplomats expelled worldwide, whilst Russia warns the West, we will strike back. This is all, of course, in wake of the nerve agent attack in Salisbury, which left a former Soviet or Russian agent and his daughter incapacitated in the UK. Nathan, where are we now with this one?
Well, it's a great day for Theresa May. I mean, she's the one who has been pushing this and, of course, started it, because obviously it happened in the UK, but she has been basically campaigning for support around the world, and it all coalesced, you know, basically yesterday, and these announcements are out now from all of these countries, and, you know, she basically got what she wanted, which is a general condemnation of Putin and Russia. Where it goes from here is, of course, a question. Russia has already said it will retaliate for all these expulsions. I mean, whether they're going to start expelling diplomats from all of these countries who have thrown out Russian diplomats. We'll have to wait and see. They may come up with some other means of showing their displeasure. We'll just have to wait and see what that is. But yes, it is a very, very interesting and, you know, something we haven't seen recently, certainly, with so many countries going after Russia and having been convinced, despite Russian denials, that they are indeed responsible for this. One of the most surprising, of course, is the U.S., because Donald Trump has, ever since he's been president, has done very little to criticize Russia or Putin in any way, shape, or form, and throwing out 60 diplomats, or, you know, again, they're basically spies that are there under diplomatic credentials, which everybody knows happens. Every country does it. So, you know, it's not like they're throwing out actual, you know, diplomats who are doing that kind of work. But it doesn't really matter. They are throwing out 60. And for the U.S. to do that, I mean, some people are saying it really wasn't Trump's idea that you know, that it's more the State Department and the decisions were there, and Trump didn't stop it, which is an interesting caveat to this whole thing.
Could he stop it? I mean, he has to at some stage to be seen to be doing something. You know, you can't just keep on being pally-pally with the Russians and denying this and denying that, and then all of a sudden you get this situation where someone's been killed in the West by what can only be considered or called a chemical weapon in a foreign country, and not be seen to act upon it.
Well, first of all, they're not dead yet, but...
The chances of survival.
Well, fine. I think that's a technicality, isn't it?
I mean, they've been hit by a chemical weapon in a foreign country by a supposedly foreign government.
Yeah, but as I say, this is the first time that the U.S. since Trump has been president has. I mean, you know, there is some sanctions that have been put in that he did begrudgingly, but it is surprising that the reaction was that strong just because Trump is there and Trump says that. Now, you make it sound very practical that, you know, could he really not do this? And logically, you would say yes. Of course, he had to do something like this, but when have we used logic and Trump in the same sentence?
Let's go live to the lines on that one. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Good morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello there. Good morning. My name is Victor. I'm from Fuengirola area. The two major subjects of the morning are, it would seem to me, that the anti-Semitism parade yesterday against the Labour Party. It's very simple. The Labour Party is now run by Muslims.
Right, we're going to come on to the Labour Party a little bit later on. So if you want to call back a little bit later about that particular subject,
we'll switch to the other subject.
Right, thank you.
Very simple. Putin is an ex-KGB leader. He is a thug, he is a killer, and he is a thief. Very, very simple. Everybody knows this. Russia is a failed country with a depleted population, which is falling fast. It has the GDP of the size of Texas, and it is a third world country. And he's shouting back. He's got no chance in the end. I mean, if it were left to me, I would make sure that no football team ever went there again. But I feel very, very sorry for the footballers who have been working at it for 4 years, which is the only reason that they are going to send football teams there. But it's insanity. It would shatter Putin. Shatter him.
Thank you for your calls in there, Victor. A wide range of subjects there covered in Victor's speech, his piece there. Just to let you know that obviously not all the opinions of Viewpoint are those of TRE, and anything that anybody found offensive with that one, we wish to retract that remark and apologise for it. Where were we? Where were we with that one though? In terms of,
Putin is ex-KGB.
Yeah.
That is a fact, and I'm sure that he still thinks along those lines. He is a very interesting character when it comes to getting things done, isn't it? He just denies everything. I mean, you know, no, just sit there in front of a camera, and maybe it's just what all great politicians do.
But he's just got in for a fourth term now, hasn't he? So
yeah,
he can see himself as...
What was it? Remind me of his opposition?
Exactly. 78% of the vote, you know, paying service to the democracy. So at this point, he's seeing himself as, well, I'm going to do pretty much... It's worked so far, and although some may say that Russia is a failed country, I'm sure that there are several Russian listeners out there who would say that they're very proud of what their country is doing at the moment. Where does the West go now? I mean, it's been a great show of strength for, you said, it's been a very good week for Theresa May, Nathan. But.
Yeah, because, again, what she has as the country that is leaving Brexit, she got, you know, basically the rest of the EU to support her, which, how meaningful it is really as far as anything else, because this is an issue that you know, really, once people were convinced and whatever evidence is out there. I mean, the assumptions certainly are easy, but I assume that she, in her different meetings with leaders of the EU and other people, have, you know, have stronger evidence than just, you know, he's a thug and he probably did it. But, you know, the fact that she has gotten this support is just simply very good for her, you know, any way you look at it.
I mean, she made the comment yesterday, the other day, that, and it's reported on the front page of Telegraph, "May, we've crippled Russia's spy web." Now, call me old-fashioned, but that would seem to be provocation of the highest order to somebody like Putin to say, "You think you've crippled our spy web? Well, guess what? You're not gonna have the internet next week."
Well, again, whether they've crippled the spy web, as I say, most countries have people who are, you know, spies of one sort or another who are placed in other countries using diplomatic cover. Those are the people who, you know, have been thrown out. Very often the country that they are living in, that they have moved to as a diplomat, is well aware of what they're really doing. It's kind of, you know, just the way things are. So it's a signal from other countries that they are not pleased with what Russia, you know, is doing and what happened in the UK with this poisoning. But as far as their spy apparatus, I mean, it's, you know, the Russians are just going to send X number of other, quote, diplomats who are spies. And what's going to happen, the countries that they're going to are just going to have to figure them out. And also, you know, those aren't the only agents that any country has in another country.
But, so. I mean, but the whole thing about calling these people, I mean, they are spies. They've got a physical presence, but everything now is done on the internet and on cyber. They do more cyber spying and things than they do having people walking down the paper down the mall, giving them swapping briefcases and having bits of paper.
Dead man drop boxes. Yeah,
and things like that. I'm sure that just doesn't happen anymore.
No, the drop boxes, yes, of course not. But talk to any government agency who is involved in intelligence and so on. You need the human intelligence. You need the people on the ground. Yes, an awful lot.
But I still guess the serious stuff is going on. You know, the thing that's going to interfere with aircraft landing and voting and things like that. You know, that's the real damage that's going to be done.
Well, that's a whole different thing. And no, that has nothing to do with the people who are working as a cultural attaché someplace.
Yes, I mean, what I'm saying is it's just a little bit of a... Well, go on, then you can go back. And eventually another 60 will come back.
Exactly.
Another 28 they'll slip in one at a time.
That's exactly
There was a news story last night that I watched. And they suggested during this story that the whole purpose of Putin's attempt with his gas attack in Britain was to see what sort of support that Britain would get from the rest of the world.
Yes,
I think he's going to be very surprised at the amount of support that Britain is getting.
He very well may be, and yes, I mean, that's a perfectly valid way of looking at it, whether he did this, you know, simply because of that. But, I mean, it certainly, you know, is one thing that anybody would be interested in. I think, you know, whether you're Putin or whether you're anybody, whether you're the EU or anybody else, you're going to be interested in, you know, was she able to convince all of these other countries that indeed, you know, what she said is, you know, they accept what she's saying, that it was indeed Putin from the evidence that they have, whatever it is.
The question is, he was trying to find out who likes me.
Indeed. Yeah. We've got a caller on the line, 952-784-1000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's Johnny Mehas. Am I a minority of one? I didn't think that these countries are supporting Britain. I thought they were just proving to Russia that they can't do that anywhere in the world because their country might be next.
So you think it's not an R back? Well, you think it's saying the reason they're expelling these diplomats is saying is a preemptive warning then to Putin that you won't get away with it in our country as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything to do with supporting Britain as such. I mean, if it had happened in France or Germany or Timbuktu, Britain and everybody else would have done probably the same as they're doing now. They would have supported the action against Russia. It wouldn't have been supporting that country.
Oh, I think you're right, but certainly, politically, it does put May in a position where she was able to garner this support, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's other countries saying, you know, don't do this in our backyard, certainly, whether that is meaningful or not. Again, we don't know how often Russia or anybody else does something like this. The only time we know that it happens is when they get caught doing it, or when whoever it is gets caught doing it. It happens, I think, more often than many people are aware. And those are the times that whoever is doing it does it and does it successfully, and you just assume that those people died of whatever reason. And there is no connection with being poisoned by a foreign power or something like that. But I think you're right. Everybody, but they had to be convinced by the UK that it was Russia in order for them to do what they're doing.
952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email, and the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. I got an email in here from David Ronan on the Costa Blanca saying, good morning, panel. I've been listening to your various discussions on various subjects. I dare you to bring up Corbyn's mural, anti-Semitic late regret for the comments he made, and what is the panel's reaction to the opinion? We'll find out from that after this.
TRE.
Viewpoint
with Giles Brown.
Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's live and lively programme with a panel of invited guests. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. We go straight to the phone lines. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, my name is Brian. I'm ringing you from Callahunda.
Good morning, Brian.
Hello. This is just a conversation we had last night, and it seems to be... Theresa May was not a Brexit supporter. Now, just imagine for a moment, she sat in an office and decided, how are we going to change people's minds? Okay, let's blame the Russians. So they, the British, arranged this poisoning. And then they change everybody's mind against the whole Brexit thing and say, look, all these other countries have come out in support of us. How can we possibly leave?
So we're saying that basically this is a, if you like, a false flag attack, and once again, this has been engineered. The saying was always...
I'm not saying, but you know when you see all these movies and you always think it's one person, and at the end of it, it turns out to be somebody else because they wanted something?
Indeed.
It's just a thought. I'm not saying it really happened, but when they make the movie, won't that be a good twist in the end?
The movies are great. It's called fiction.
Well, I don't know if it's fiction. Sometimes when things are so obvious, they're not necessarily the truth.
Brian, thanks for the call in there. 952-78-4000 or studio@tre.radio email. Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. Let's move away from spies and spooks and poisonings to the extraordinary scenes yesterday in Parliament Square. If you look on the front page of the Daily Mail today, it leads with a headline piece by Robert Hardman, who says, Day British Jews goaded beyond endurance by the rise of anti-Semitism in Labour descended on Parliament to cry, enough is enough, Mr. Corbyn. I'll just read a little bit of this, because it says, Parliament Square has seen some extraordinary protests, but surely none like last night's by Britain's Jewish community. No one could recall the last time hundreds, if not thousands, of people, most of whom had never demonstrated before, felt compelled to assemble at Westminster to accuse the leader of a major party of racism. The equally remarkable was the sight of many from both MPs from both sides of the Commons showing their support for the protesters at the landmark moment in politics. Enough is enough, Mr. Corbyn. There seems to be the male rights that British Jews have been goaded beyond endurance as Jeremy Corbyn has apologised for pain and hurt caused in the community. Mike, what are your thoughts on where we are? And just give a little bit of background to this.
Well, traditionally, going right back to the 20s, the Jewish communities have always supported Labour in a lot of things. And over the... I mean, there's always been anti-Semitism in every party, in every... everywhere there is. It's just one of those things you live with. But you mustn't get confused with anti-Zionism against anti-Semitism. I mean, I'm Jewish, and the things that happen in Israel, I don't always agree with. But it doesn't stop me from being Jewish. I don't believe in some of the actions that are taken there. So there must be a line drawn between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. But what's happened over the last few years is becoming, from my point of view, p- painful. You know, when I listen to someone, forget about Corbyn for the moment, when I hear what Livingstone said regarding that Hitler was actually was a Zionist because he thought that all Jews should go back to Israel. Well, Hitler thought that, yeah, but via the remains via the concentration camp. So it just goes on and on and on. But what Corbyn's doing is he's not reacting. He's not standing up and saying, "Hello." Sorry, he's not standing up. He's not standing up to these people that are turning around and bringing out anti-Semitic remarks. For instance, there was a woman, Shah, was it her name, who turned around and said, you know, one way of clearing up the Palestinian problem is to pick Israel up and drop it somewhere in America. Is that was correct? Did I recall?
Right.
She resigned, but now she's back doing something again. And what's happened is now that the Jewish communities and different parts of government are of Labour and Conservative and Lib Dems, whoever, are now standing up and saying to him, you've got to stand up and be counted and turn around and say that there is anti-Semitism in the Labour Party and you've got to deal with it. And he hasn't been.
I mean, people are saying he's been very slow. Today, I mean, looking at the news feeds now, he just said that Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn has requested a meeting with Jewish groups after accusations of anti-Semitism within his party. The demonstration held outside Parliament over his handling of the issue. This all comes back to this: the criticism appearing to defend a racist mural. Have you seen this mural?
I've seen it. But, you know, it's not a... In my opinion, yes, it's racist, but it's also not racist in as much as you see these type. I don't want to get to the same sort of stage where, like they did with the Danish
the cartoon
thing, where it becomes thing. You know, someone's done something and they've stereotyped what they consider Jewish people to look like and to act like, and so, you know, it's not the end of the world as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's pretty offensive, but there's lots of offensive things going on. Should it be taken down? Maybe. But he should show some kind of reaction to it.
We've got a caller on the line. We go live to the lines, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blanca.
Yes, Kate.
I want to get a quick one in here, because I can see a very strong parallel with the feminist stroke not Me Too. You know, the move on the sex gender issue goes all the way from hard feminism to Me Too. You know, my knee was touched in 1953, that kind of extreme. There seems a heightened hypersensitivity about anti-Semitism. Kelp's got that wrong. Than there used to be. I've heard more conservatives coming up with very strong anti-Semitic remarks than I've ever heard Labour. Now, that may be, you know, where I lived, you know, the geographical in that sense. But this seems to me totally disproportionate and seems to me, from the outside, as an example of Blairite attempting to undermine Corbyn as the leader of the Labour Party. Because what he did was the kind of thing that anyone could do if he wasn't going there expecting to be... to see that mural, but expecting to be aware of the anti-Semitic issue. You know, it's the kind of thing that any human being could do if you weren't looking hard at a work of art. And given some works of art, you could see why not.
One of the things which is the problem with everything at the moment is the media. So you've got loads and loads of Facebook groups,
yes,
which Corbyn probably not even aware of, but in the name of Labour, which are coming out with some very anti-Semitic and some very nasty remarks. But
yes,
but they've never, you know, in years gone by, you would it was more closed shop. You wouldn't know about that. But now it's there. It's in your face.
Okay, everything you see, everything that is said
that whether it's racist, whether it be black, white, green, whatever the racist remarks are, is now straight away in your face and all over the place.
Yeah, except that there's one other thing. One is the exponential growth of the internet, social media, etc., etc. Places where people can react, particularly if they're feeling heated. But there's also, no one mentions this, the scope for people to disproportionately react.
You have to explain disproportionately react. Yeah, when someone's having a go at you about something, what sort of reaction would you...
But if you're not having a go, I mean, as far as I can make out from the incident, which was this mural being... the idea that it should be covered up, whatever. It wasn't... He wasn't intending to say anything about Jews. There was... It turned out there was a Jewish agenda, anti-Semitic agenda, that wasn't immediately obvious to a casual... And, it's this kind of thing, the presumption of guilt on anything, and I include the sexist whole area as well in this, the hypersensitivity. And so the accusation of anti-Semitic loses its vile strength.
One could
because it's so overused.
One could argue that the he was picking. He was Corbyn was. You could argue was trying to make a point about freedom of art and free speech. But the piece of quote unquote artwork and mural that he decided to use it on was a particularly interesting one, and perhaps a poor example for him to get involved and say, I believe in free speech, and that's why this mural shouldn't be taken down. Whereas it is a chess. It is a world board, and there are what look like African-American stroke slaves underneath the board, and are sitting above that tabletop are businessmen who, are...
Stereotype okay. Jewish.
If I'd been looking at what I've heard that it represents, it would sound more like the struggle of the powerful the difficulties of the world's poor against the very rich.
Can I just tell you something, right? Because I listen to I'm nearly 70 years old, and I've listened to all this for years and years and years. And it's, as I say, I'm Jewish. And I just remember one thing, okay? When I was 6 or 7 years old, right, I went to a school in quite a nice area. And at the end of the school day, everybody got an invitation to go to this kid's party. And I didn't. And when I said to him, why am I not coming to your party, it was explained that I wasn't allowed because I was Jewish. So, nobody can tell me anything about anti-Semitism.
No, but that is a real example of anti-Semitic behaviour.
No, I've got to tell you, it's all real. It's how you deal with it.
No.
Yeah, yes.
And we seem to have lost the caller there. So that's an interesting one. 952-78-4000.
Just like to make a comment on that, the last caller, and what my friend here mentioned, was that when I was a kid, probably around the same age as you were talking about, 7 or 8 years old, I was at the time. There was a lot of problems being a Catholic in the community that I grew up in, and I went to the very first Catholic school that was built in our town, and because I was no longer in the elementary system or in the public system, we had to be bussed in because we lived in a rural community. And every single day when we get off the bus, I mean, I'm an 8-year-old kid. We got to fight our way home. The kids that were in the school that I had just left were there waiting for the bus full of Catholics to be dropped off. I mean, we had to fight almost every day.
And that's right. But what I'm saying is, when you deal with it, whether you're Catholic, you're Asian, whatever the problem is, until you faced it, actually in person, everyone can have an opinion about it, but when it's actually been aimed at you and for years and years and years and you do become stereotyped, and that's fine, you get used to it. I've got pretty broad shoulders and thick skin, and probably don't get as offended as I used to. But you mustn't get confused with things. It doesn't make it right. And what's happening with Jeremy Corbyn now is because he is the leader of a political party, he should be reacting in what I consider a more informed and a more stronger way, and I don't think he's being strong enough.
Love, you've just been sent in through the Leader article in the Times, which is Corbyn and anti-Semitism, and this is from the Times, saying Labour has deep historical links, as you said before, Mike, with British Jewry. That tradition is traduced by a leader with a history of dubious alliances and inflammatory remarks. Labour was, by a long way, the last of the three main parties to have a Jewish leader, but no one could ever have credibility associated with anti-Semitism. No, sorry, nobody could ever have credibility associated it with anti-Semitism. That not at least until 2015, when Jeremy Corbyn became leader. Mr. Corbyn brought with him a history of alliances with extremists and of remarks showing frivolous disregard for the concerns of Jew in Britain. It was only a matter of time before the issue erupted again, and the issue has erupted, Nathan.
With Jeremy Corbyn, from the time he became the leader of the party, even before, I mean, he is not your standard politician. He is not somebody who has, from what I understand, worked well in the political system. I think this is just another example of it that is the latest. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn has been criticized for mishandling an awful lot of situations, despite the fact that he, you know, has been, you know, elected, I guess, twice now or something, as leader of the party. This is one issue. He has, you know, he has messed up a lot of other issues too, by the, you know, from what a lot of people within the Labour Party and certainly outside the Labour Party, because outside the Labour Party, everybody's going to criticize him no matter what he does. That's part of the job. This is just another example of him, you know, not handling a situation like this well.
And we've got a caller on the line, 952-78-4000. Good morning, caller, you're live on TRE.
Yeah, good morning, Sharon Alley County. Can I ask Nathan what if he's messed up a whole bunch of things, what were they?
No, I'm sorry, I mean, I'm not able to go through it, but I mean, Jeremy Corbyn has not seemed to be, I mean, he seems to have been open since he came on the national political scene, you know, criticized for a whole lot of things, a lot of viewpoints he's had, whether he still holds them or not, but just dealing with situations like that. And this is, I think, just another example of him, I don't know whether it's not knowing what to do or not feeling that he should do it, or I don't know why he is acting the way he is, but he's, I think, received a lot of criticism for mishandling other, you know, other things, and I'm sorry, I don't have a list in front of me.
Well, I would argue that he's also handled the list of things really well. He's been consistent on the chemical attack.
I'm not arguing that he has done things well. I mean, that's not
well,
a question.
Well, let's look at the positive, because I think this is, as Kate said, I think this is a Blairite attack. You quoted two newspapers, The Times and The Mail. Most of the print press in the UK is definitely right-wing, and I just think that this is yet another fantastic opportunity to hand rub and oust Corbyn, and I think it's disgraceful. The mural that you were talking about was I think, as Kate said, that it was a case of the class war, the rich versus the poor, and the great big gap between the two.
I must ask you a question. Why must the rich be represented with the stereotype of a Jewish person?
Because a lot of them run the banking system.
No, but you see, hold on, I love you to pieces, but you've used that saying, which I really dislike, a lot of them. What's them?
Isn't the banking system...
No, them. Are you referring to the Jewish people as them?
Right, okay. Isn't the banking... What did I say? Can you repeat what
you
I said?
You said the banking system is run by a lot of them.
A lot of... meaning, the Jewish people.
Yeah, but why would you refer to us as them?
Well, I didn't mean to be insulting. I'm not.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's where people have to be a little bit careful. You're stereotyping. You see, I can show you a lot of very rich black bankers, a very lot of rich Asian bankers, Chinese. But it's a stereotype of this person sitting there, usually with a big nose. You can say whatever, and it's a stereotype, and it's actually quite insulting.
Michael, can I just tell you, I've got Jewish ancestry and I've got a big nose.
Well, but what I'm saying is that's a stereotype. And you used the phrase which is for a lot of people, whether it be Asian, black or whatever, you used the word them.
All right, I apologise. Okay. I apologise profusely because that absolutely wasn't meant. I'm not a racist in any shape or form for any...
I do understand that, and it is a thing where people do believe that the Jewish people or Jewish people run the whole financial part of the world, and you know, it's true. I can show you plenty of very very broke Jewish people.
Right. Can I just also say that I further to that, stronger than that, outside that, are you there? Hello.
Yeah.
Can I just say that I think it is actually an ousting of Corbyn session. I think they've tried to get at Corbyn since he first became Labour leader. Other Labour leaders haven't done anything about it. And as Kate said, there are Tories who've made anti-Semitic remarks.
And I 100% agree with you. And Corbyn just happens to be one of many, many political leaders and political people who are anti-Semitic or are being seen to be anti-Semitic. Whether they actually are or not is one of those things.
I mean, one of the things...
Are we still friends, Michael?
Absolutely, 1,000,000%.
Thank you, darling. Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay. I mean, one of the things you can say, criticise about Corbyn's reaction is his lack of reaction on this, as on several other issues, say the Brexit, where he didn't come out whether he was leave or remain. He sat on the sidelines, and you could order that a strong leader shouldn't sit on the sidelines and say his reply about this mural was the fact that he said, I sincerely regret that I did not look more closely at the image I was commenting on. Surely a strong leader should say, you know, I was wrong, or shouldn't, or should have some sort of nous that this may be offensive. I mean, I'm not a politician. I looked at the image and went, right, well, I know exactly what that one is saying. We go live to the lines. Just a quick call before we come back on this point. 952-78-4000. Good morning. Call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yes, my joy is about prejudice in general, what you're talking about.
And your name, please.
My name is Hilda in Costa Blanca.
Yes, Hilda.
Pardon?
Yes, please, make your point.
Do you want me to tell you?
Yes, please.
Yes, what I'm talking about, the prejudice in general.
Yes, Hilda, please make your point.
Yeah, what I'm talking about is that, you know, it's in general, that I find it's in general with the human race. You understand? For instance, I am an English Protestant from the north, and I went to London in the 70s and 70s and 80s. And there I was, without any prejudice whatsoever, and I know now what prejudice is. I met some Jewish people that I liked and that, but they would have nothing to do with me because I wasn't Jewish. And then another time, this was in London, and then I went to a party was accepted to a party with black people, and they all got up and walked out because I wasn't black. And then I went to work in Kensington Council, and all the people were Catholics, and they would have nothing to do with me or even teach me how to do my work because I wasn't a Catholic. So what I'm trying to say, I'm not prejudiced at all, but I have experienced it on the other side.
So prejudice goes both ways, is what you're saying, Hilda, yeah?
Do you understand?
I do indeed.
Yes, and it's rather, I find it's terribly sad. Also, I must explain that I went to Israel and went on a kibbutz for 4 months, and it was marvellous.
Thank you for your call-in.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
You're back into the last 10 minutes or so of the show Viewpoint. Always live, always lively. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Nathan, you're going to come back and appoint that.
Well, before Sharon was on, you were talking about Corbyn, a strong leader of the party, whatever party you're talking about, would act this way and say this and so on. The thing with Corbyn, ever since he has been the leader, has anyone ever accused him of being a strong leader? I mean, that is not his technique, and that's not the way he works. That's not to say he may not be effective. I don't know. That's for other people to decide. But, I mean, he doesn't have strong, you know, and make strong points about much of anything, it seems.
Well, he's like I said, Corbyn has apologised over the past 24 hours for pockets of anti-Semitism in the party, and the yesterday Jewish community leaders handed a letter to the Parliamentary Labour Party meeting, and there was an action against anti-Semitism protest yesterday, which is making most of the front pages in today's papers. Into the last 9 minutes of the show, I want to get away from the goings on between with the protests from yesterday onto something else that seems to be making the news, and a certain Stormy Daniels has made the news in the States over the weekend. She went on, was it 60 Minutes, I believe, Nathan, the program?
Yeah, it was. I mean, she did an interview which, you know, pretty much said what everybody was kind of aware of anyway, whether you believe her, and she was, you know, is up to you. I mean, different people.
It seems to be, yes. I mean, she seems to be claiming that she had an affair with President Trump in 2006.
Which she has claimed before. We all knew that. We've known, you know, a lot of this about Trump, and he still got elected. So, I mean, I don't think it's really changed a whole lot, but it certainly is fascinating, of course, to everyone. The one thing it does is just add to the chaos of the Trump administration. I mean, you know, they are, by dint of what's going on, spending much more time dealing with things like, you know, his past life with Stormy Daniels and so on than they are about running the country.
But
and that, I think, is the big failure.
Should we even be giving this one lip service? Because there have always been women of virtue, of negotiable virtue or dubious virtue, throwing themselves at political candidates. We think of Gary Hart's campaign that was scuppered in the 80s. Perhaps the American press and media are giving this far too much credence.
Well, I don't know whether they're giving it credence. They're giving it publicity because she is very good at making a case, and between her and her lawyer, stringing it along and, you know, putting out a little more, a little more, a little more. There are others making similar accusations against him. As I say, everybody knew this, and I don't know whether they have any more evidence of it from what she said or not, but that, you know, Trump has fooled around with a lot of women during his career. That didn't seem to stop people from voting for him, so I'm not sure why it's a big issue. The more serious people are saying the only real issue here was the $130,000 reportedly paid to her. Does that turn out to be an illegal financial contribution to the Trump campaign, depending on who paid it, why they paid it, who paid him back or didn't pay him back, or what was that? That seems to be the, you know, the more serious issue with this, rather than Donald Trump's sex life.
I just thought it was an interesting term and phrase that you used about giving them lip service. I just think that he... It's very interesting. This is the one thing he hasn't tweeted about. He hasn't called her a liar. Not like he normally does on Twitter.
No.
or whatever. Should they be anybody be interested? When the man has probably got one of the most, or if not the most powerful positions in the world, and he's proving once again to be not a very good man. Husband, president, with some of the things that he comes out, paying women hush money, or getting his agents to pay women hush money, allegedly, but again not being denied. Maybe it's just, you know, but no one seems to care. You said it absolutely. His hardcore voters just don't care.
I think, Michael, exactly what you just said. During his campaign, Trump was on stage, on TV. And he said, I could walk out onto the street and gun down six people, and nobody would care. I could still get elected. And there's truth to that. I mean, from what I've seen over his last year, it doesn't matter what he does. If there was an election coming up this year for president, he would probably win again. I can't figure it out. I don't understand the mentality of the supporters of Trump, and like, it doesn't seem to matter what he does or what he says.
But one could argue that this has always been... I mean, if you think of the Kennedys and the mythos that surrounded the Kennedys and then the stuff that came out about JFK's private life, if that was in the age of the social media, the Kennedys had been running around Washington doing what they did, I mean, the whole of Washington would have been ablaze, Nathan.
Exactly. I mean, it is a different time. There is so much information out there, and in this case, you know, it's a... Well, is it true? Is this true? Is that true? And you have, in this case, one side saying a whole lot of things and the other side saying, which is very strange for Donald Trump, saying absolutely nothing. Now, some people will say, since he's not saying anything, it must be true. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic that in the original tape where he was with Billy Bush in the camper van, right, Billy Bush got fired. Right, and Trump went on to be president, and Billy Bush was the interviewer. So, you know, this doesn't make sense to me. I mean, the American people, or a majority of, or the people that voted him, he just cannot do. It doesn't matter what he does. Doesn't matter what he does, and he makes some faux pas, to put it mildly.
No question. But again, to say it doesn't matter. They made a choice a year and a half, whatever it is, ago. Whether that same choice would be made today, I don't know. I don't know that he would be reelected. Everybody is watching very closely to the just congressional elections in November of this year to see, you know, whether the support he has had by the Republican Party, whether that remains. And there are questions about that. We don't know.
I mean, our fingers are crossed.
is this considered by anybody in America as it is in, like, obviously in the UK, there would be resignations all over the place because we're so prim and proper. Is it a scandal?
I don't know. I mean, again, you're going to have to define the word scandal. I mean, it's a scandal to some people. He has denied it. His supporters accept his denial that any of this stuff has happened, and it doesn't matter.
It would be considered a scandal to anybody with morals.
Well, all right, fine. Again, you're getting into semantics.
I mean, if he was a single bachelor and he was out running the streets and in the bars at night, he met a lady and
went home.
But he wasn't. He was a married man.
Okay, but you've got this. So you can't. You can't. Al Franken, right, made a couple of remarks and stood in front of a bit of a dodgy photograph when there was a woman. He had to resign. There's so many politicians that
he didn't have to. He did.
Okay.
And well, but there you're talking about the person. Al Franken had his attitude was, yes, I did whatever, and okay, I obviously I'm ashamed of it, and I should not be holding this position of power. That was his attitude, so he resigned. Obviously, Donald Trump doesn't have that attitude.
Okay, that's exactly what I was going to say.
So
you've got this man who's got he's decided what he did was wrong, and he shouldn't be in political office because what he did was not correct. And Donald Trump went, maybe. Who cares?
Well, he did whatever he did. He got elected. He is a great salesman. He sold himself. He will continue, to try. Well, that may be. But snake oil salesmen were very good, or they'd have gone out of business.
Absolutely.
I mean, I have said from, a long time that, the problem is not that he is a good salesman. He can sell these ideas that wouldn't this be great. He just can't, the product is not there. He can't carry through and do a lot of what he has convinced people he's going to do. And that we'll find out in 4 years, well, less than 4 years now, certainly, whether he runs again, whether, who knows what will happen in that period of time. But the one thing to remember with the election, and I think there is some truth in this, certainly, that had he been running against any other Democrat other than Hillary Clinton, the results could have been very, very different.
Right then, those bongos mean that we are out of time. It's been a live and lively Viewpoint, as always. My thanks to my guests, Ron Yates.
Thank you, Giles. It was an interesting morning. I
Michael Senker, as well, good to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
And Nathan Thomas.
Thank you, Giles. A full house today.
A full house indeed. Also, Andres Gomer, Andres Gallardo. This program will be repeated at 6 o'clock. Steve Ritson up next.
Do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.